The portion of scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 33, beginning with the 7th verse. This is our first lesson for today, the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. Dear friends in Christ, a watchman sits on top of the city wall. His job is to look for enemies. And in the middle of the night, he sees the enemy approaching. What happens if he doesn't say anything? What happens if he doesn't sound the alarm? Though the city's under attack, many people will die, and maybe the city is even destroyed. And the watchman gets the blame because he saw the danger and yet didn't say anything. God made the prophet Ezekiel the watchman over the people of Israel. But it's not just Ezekiel. God has made each and every one of us a watchman over the spiritual lives of each other. So we do our Christian duty. If someone sins, it's our duty to point out their sin. And if they repent, then we show them free forgiveness through their Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus explicitly laid out the job of the church and what we call the Great Commission recorded in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. The church, when it's boiled all down, essentially has one job: to make disciples for Jesus. And it accomplishes that purpose by two means: by baptizing and by teaching them to obey everything. And if it's the job of the church, then it's the job of the individual stones that make up the church of God, individual believers. It's our duty then to make disciples by baptizing and by teaching everything. This morning, we saw two great examples of Christian parents doing their jobs. They brought their children to be baptized. Even though their child may look sweet and innocent, they knew otherwise. As we sung in our psalm for today, they were born and conceived into sin as enemies of God who hated God, on their way to eternal condemnation as children of the devil. So they brought their children to the baptismal font. Because they knew in baptism, Christ washes away our sins. He robes us, he clothes us in a robe of his righteousness, his perfection. Through baptism, their children were welcomed as children of God. Welcomed into his family as faith was worked into their hearts by the Holy Spirit working through the waters of baptism. They brought their children to be baptized because they realized that through baptism, God saves all people. I'm sure many of you, if not most, if not all of you, have done your jobs in this respect. You have brought your children to be baptized. It's something you had no problem doing because you knew the situation and you knew the remedy. That job you do. But what about the other half? What about making disciples of all nations by teaching all nations to obey everything I have commanded you? Do you teach your family, your close friends, your relatives, people you know, to obey everything found in God's Word? Let's not even just talk about all nations. Just focus on those you know well. Do you point out their sins? As we read in Matthew 18, our gospel for today, if someone sins, do you go and show them their sins? Go and show them what's wrong with what they are doing and the condemnation they will receive unless they repent. And then you bring a couple others along and finally show it to the church, the elders and the pastor. And then if that fails, do you do the final step of Matthew 18? Treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Have nothing to do with them. Do not associate with them because they have marked themselves as an unbeliever. And make no mistake about it. It doesn't matter what sin is committed. There is no small sins in the eyes of the Lord. Any unrepentant sin, whether it be gossip or murder or anything in between, is grounds for condemnation. Doesn't matter what sin it is. Perhaps you know someone who doesn't worship God on a regular basis. He fails to put God first in his life and breaks the very first commandment. Maybe the way they are living doesn't correspond to what God says in His Word. Maybe they want nothing to do with Christ at all. Now, it doesn't matter what sin they're caught up in, however small or insignificant it may seem. It doesn't matter how common the sin is. It doesn't matter if the whole world is committing that sin. It doesn't matter if the world says that is right or not. In the end, if it goes against God's Word, it's a sin, and any unrepentant sin leads to eternal death. And yet, we often don't teach those close to us to obey everything found in God's Word. We often don't even do that first step of Matthew 18 about going to someone and pointing out their sin. You make excuses. You just don't want to put yourself out there. You don't want to make any enemies. You don't want to make your relatives or your friends angry at you. And you realize you're a sinner. So who am I, you say, who am I to go and point out someone their sins when you know full well that you sin each and every day, too numerous times a day, too numerous to count. So, we keep our mouths shut. We fail to go. Or maybe we do say something, but we don't follow up. Or we don't act as if anything's wrong after that. When it's clear that they do not repent, they do not change their ways, and yet we still associate with them, we treat them like nothing is wrong, then our words say something and our actions say something else, and we don't give them the proper message. Maybe we don't go to someone because we just don't care that much. Maybe we just don't care that much about God and His Word. Or maybe we don't care that much about their soul. Because that is what is at stake. If it is against God's Word, it's a sin. And any unrepentant sin leads to death, and their souls will go to hell. So if someone is caught in a sin, it is not just their life which is in danger, but it is their eternal soul. Now if you saw someone about to drive off a cliff, you would warn that person so that they wouldn't die. Or if you saw your child or someone else about ready to drink some poison, like bleach or something, you would stop your child from doing so. If you saw someone about to die physically, you would do all you could to prevent it. That's just common human decency. That is doing your job as a human being. And if you would do whatever it could to stop someone from dying physically, well then we also want to do all we can, and even more so, to prevent someone from dying eternally. What if you saw that person about ready to drink poison? You saw that person about ready to drive off a cliff, but you didn't say anything. You decided you didn't want to make any enemies and tell them that they're about ready to die, so you kept your mouth shut. Well, then they're going to die no matter what, and their death falls on you. As Paul told Ezekiel, "When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable." So you go to the sinner. You point out his sins, not because you hate, but because you love. Because you are concerned about his soul. And you do all you can to lead him to repentance. It is your duty to do your job. To share with them what God's word says. If that means showing someone their sin and that they are on their way to hell, if that means making an enemy, then so be it. You'd rather make an enemy on this earth and a friend forever in heaven than friend on this earth and lead him to eternal damnation. It is your job simply to share the word. It's not your job to convince. It's not your job to make him believe, to make him repent. That job belongs to God. We are just faithful in sharing the word. And that is something we want to do. Because of love. Because you share the same viewpoint as God, who doesn't want anyone to be condemned. As he told Ezekiel, "As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their evil ways and live." Turn! Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? God isn't a hateful God. He is not a God who all he wants to do is punish and condemn and send to hell. He is a loving God who wants all people to live. He wants everyone to join him in heaven. He wants all to repent and trust in him for forgiveness. What he said to Ezekiel is similar to what he said through Paul in 1 Timothy 2. God, our Savior, wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And you don't want anyone to die eternally. You love all people, especially those you are closest to. So you want them to repent of their sins and turn back to God. So when you show someone their sins and they say, along with the Israelites, "Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live?" Well, then you get the privilege, the joy of pointing them to their Savior. You point them to Christ. Christ who came down from this earth, who lived a perfect life, a life that we could not live, a life never once disobeying God. And yet he found himself hanging on the cross. And upon that cross, he took all our sins upon himself, becoming guilty of what we have done wrong, becoming a sinner in our place. And then he was condemned, forsaken by his heavenly Father. Since he became a sinner, God rejected him, and Jesus suffered through the eternal punishment that our sins deserve, condemned in our place. So that when God looks at us, He doesn't see us as sinners, doesn't see us as those who were born and conceived into sin, doesn't see us as his enemies, but he sees us as his own dear children through the waters of baptism, sees us with the perfect life of Christ given to us through faith in him. We want all to be saved. So when they repent, we show them their Savior. And we assure them that Christ has paid for the sins of the whole world, including theirs. No matter what sin has been committed, no matter how horrible it may seem, Christ has suffered and died for them. Remove the guilt of all their sins as far as from east is from west. Their sins will never have to be paid for because Christ has paid for it already. They don't have to worry about being condemned. They don't have to worry about suffering for what they have done wrong because Christ has suffered for them already. That is the joy, the duty, the privilege of the Christian to be able to use that loosing key to release them from the bondage of sin. You did your job. You brought your child to be baptized. You did your job because you know as a Christian that God forgives sins through baptism. But your job doesn't end there. Baptism is worthless if it's not combined with faith. Doesn't matter if your children is baptized if he is caught up in an unrepentant sin. So you continue to do your job. You are the watchman of your children and the watchman of each other. And since you love all people and want them to be saved, you show them their sin so that they may repent. And then you show them their Savior. It's like a doctor who notices that one of his patients has a deadly yet curable disease. In love and concern for his patient, he informs the patient of the disease, of the diagnosis, but also the cure. He doesn't keep his mouth shut because he cares for his patient. He wants him to live. Even though it might be painful to go through the treatment, eventually he lives. How much more do you want to point out the sin and the cure of someone you love? Far more important than physical life is eternal life. So do your Christian duty. And do it willingly. Out of love. So that they might not die and perish forever. But that when they die, they may live forever. That they might repent and believe and join you and all your other believers in heaven with your Savior forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now join in confessing our faith, using the words of the Apostles' Creed as printed for you on page 41, the front part of your hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus.